Psychic mediums are often misunderstood, and finding a real one can feel impossible. In this episode, we sit down with Felix Lerma, a professional medium with 25 years of experience and the one who turned Rachel into a believer.
Get ready for an eye-opening conversation about intuition, the spirit world, and what separates the real deal from the fakes. Hello, hello. Thank you for listening to this special episode with Felix Lerma. We wanted to put out a disclaimer that we had a ton of technical difficulties during this recording. Felix let us know that because he is a psychic medium, he does bring a lot of like spiritual energy, and he does have a lot of technical difficulties when he does like podcast or anything with electronics, because there is a lot of spiritual energy. And we personally have never experienced any technical difficulties until we had him on the podcast. So Kendall drops off multiple times during this episode. We had some echo issues and different things happen that we've never experienced before. So please be patient if there's some of this episode that sounds a little off or choppy. We did our best to put it back together so that we could still deliver you this wonderful episode with Felix and get it to you on Tuesday. So sit back and enjoy this episode. Welcome to a very special episode of Two Girls with Grief. Today we have Felix Lerma on, psychic medium that's been doing this for over 25 years, and someone that I went to personally and made me a believer. We're so happy to have you.
Well, thank you for having
me. I'm so excited. I feel like sometimes people don't understand what a psychic medium is, or should you believe it? Even on TikTok, because we have like grief accounts, sure. I get so many DMs of like, psychic mediums, you have a dark light. And I feel like it gives it such a bad rap.
Yeah. And let me just say this, you know, with every job, with every career, you have people that infiltrate, or people who are posing or trying to, you know, get people to give them business, right? A real medium does not do that. A real medium doesn't use fear tactics to get people to get a reading, right? So if I say something like fearful, that's immediately, oh, tell me more. Like, why? And oh my God, I have a dark cloud. No, there are no dark clouds. There's negative energy, and there's a way to tell people about that, but that's certainly not the way. So just with anything, I tell people skepticism is healthy. Healthy skepticism is good. You know, I tell people all the time, people say, Felix, I'm a little skeptical. I'm like, good. I'm glad you're skeptical. You need to be. You can't just believe everything that people say. And when you talk to someone who's real, you will know that they're real based on what they pick up from you.
I definitely want to dive into that a bit more through this conversation. Yeah. But one thing that I want to kick off with before we officially start is, I saw on your website, you said that you believe everyone is born psychic.
Right.
Can you share what you mean by that?
Absolutely. So everyone is a spirit that has a body, right? So if you're a spirit that has a body, you have the ability to connect and to tune in. So not everybody necessarily wants to tune in, or not everybody necessarily has that belief, right? So we come into this world and we're given all kinds of belief systems, you know, we're indoctrinated basically. And so it's up to you to figure out who you are. It's up to us to, and you know, I have used my Catholic background as a faith-based belief system that's helped me. So, you know, other people say I grew up Catholic, and you know, they say we're not supposed to talk to spirits. And my thing was, well, they're talking to me. So if I'm not allowed to talk to them, then why are they talking to me? Right? So that didn't go well over with me as an 8-year-old. I thought it's not logic. This doesn't make sense. If God didn't want me to connect with spirits, then why are they talking to me? So that sort of for me was like, okay, that's out the window. So yeah, people come to the table with their belief systems and with their religions. Sometimes I have to get through all that. But truthfully, we are all spirit, and we all have at one time or another communicated with a spirit. Whether you're aware of it or not, whether it was in your dreams or whether you experienced something where you felt something and you needed to say something to someone that made sense to them and you uplifted them. That is spirit communication.
Yeah, I saw ghosts when I was younger. I don't think I talked to them, but I did see family ghosts. And then at some point it just stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always hear people say you're more sensitive to spirits when you're younger. Yeah. Do you believe that to be true?
Absolutely, yes. All children, if not most children, sense energy and feel energy around people and can definitely see and feel spirits. But as they get older, they tend to get we get programmed, right? We get told, you know, no, you're just imagining it. It's not what you thought. Or yes, you know, in my case, I was encouraged by my family, by my parents, to know that it was real and to pray and to ask for protection. If it was something that I was perceiving that was scary, I was aware of my guardian angel at a very early age. And so that's where the Catholic religion helped me. It kind of gave me a basis of an idea, an ideology of protection, of providence, of something bigger than us is at play, and that I'm protected, guided, and most importantly, loved. And I feel like that's what religion did for me. And I avoided all the dogma and the red tape from the, you know, church itself. I for some reason avoided all that. So I feel very fortunate.
I don't know about for you, Kendall, but I feel like every time with religion, you see that people talking to spirits is always like frowned upon, or it's the devil or something negative.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's not really seen as a positive thing.
I'm falling back on kind of my knowledge of what I've learned through media. And let's start there. That's not a great source when you're watching horror movies and it's the scary ghost and the scary spirits. And it kind of like is teaching you, you should be scared of this and that it's demonic. And in real life, it's not. I mean, I'm sure there are cases like that, but like in real life, I'm sure it's much more innocuous and innocent than that.
Also because they want us to watch, you know, and it's entertaining to have an evil spirit, and it's entertaining. Don't get me wrong. There is evil. There is dark energy. But from my 25 years of doing readings, I've never experienced a dark energy coming through my readings. I've experienced spirits that have gone through darkness, or may have done dark things and may have hurt people, but I have never heard someone say, I'm in hell and I'm hurting and I need help and I'm stuck and all this. There's so many tactics that some people use. And, you know, I might be controversial for saying this, but that's okay because I speak the truth and I'm speaking my truth. But I have yet to meet a spirit that needs help to cross over. I meet people who need help to make sense of their loved ones who passed. But I have yet to meet a spirit who hasn't crossed over or is stuck or is in a bad place. And, you know, listen, maybe I catch them at the best time. Maybe I get them when they're on the other side and they're fully complete. But I have yet to experience a spirit that is asking me to help them to get to the other side.
Not like Ghost Whisperer then. Do you know that
show? I know about Ghost Whisperer. Yeah, it's entertaining, you know? It's fun and it makes for a story. It's very boring to know that everyone goes to the other side and is happy. That's a boring story. People aren't going to care about that. People want drama. They want, you know, the living stuff that we have to deal with. Then they apply that. They attribute the physical to the non-physical. And hey, it makes for a great TV show. I won't lie. But you know, I've been approached by people in Hollywood to do a TV show and America's Top Psychic. And I said to them, so what am I doing exactly? And they said, well, we're testing them and we're going to see who can find this. I'm like, that sounds fun, but that's not really what I do. My gift is to help people. My ability is to help people. And unless I'm helping someone, it's kind of empty for me. I'm not interested in being entertainment and being a spectacle and wowing people, although that does happen. My intention in my work is to help people make sense of why something happened, or to help people understand where their loved ones are and what they're doing and why they had to go home. And that is, to me, my purpose. And I never found interest in doing it for fun and entertainment purposes. It can be fun and entertaining. Don't get me wrong. It can definitely, I have many a session that people laugh so hard and cry, and it's definitely a roller coaster ride.
I want to share the story that I had with Felix, because I feel like when you hear psychic medium, as you said, people can be very cautious, and you should be. And I was definitely skeptic. Like, so I've lost both my parents and my sister, and obviously having a very hard time with it. And my brother actually found Felix, and he went to him, and then he booked me a session with Felix. I think he gave it to me as like a Christmas gift. And he's like, I feel like this would really be helpful to you. But when he went, I was like, well, what made you believe him? What did he say? Tell me one specific thing that proved to you that he's real. And my brother was like, I don't really remember. He was real. Like, don't worry about it. And I was like, no, like, I need one example. Like, what changed your mind? And maybe it was personal. Maybe it was, you know, he had his own experiences with our family. Like, maybe there was other stories that he didn't want to share. Like, I don't know his reasoning. He didn't give me an exact answer. But I was like, I don't believe it. And part of me, I think I didn't want to believe that that was possible, right? Because it's like, it's so painful being without your loved ones. Like, how is it possible that someone can talk to them and deliver messages or share anything about them? It doesn't feel real. Like, with how painful this is, it doesn't feel like there's anything that could possibly help that situation. And I kept bugging him, and he still wouldn't give me like a concrete example. So I was like, okay, like, I'm just expecting to be disappointed. And I feel like that's like also a mindset I'm trying to change overall. But I feel like I was like, I'm just going to be disappointed. I know this is going to not be anything that's real. Like, I just don't believe it's possible. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, I walked in and I felt like chills. Like, I had like the hair standing on end. I felt it on my back. Like, it felt a tingly like feeling. That was my first thing. I was like, there's just like an energy here that I felt something.
You felt it yourself.
Yeah, I felt something, and I was like, what is that
feeling?
And it was weird, because I came in like, this is just going to be a waste of time. And even when I sat down, I remember being skeptical, like, okay, what's going to happen? I think you like asked for like your birthday.
The full name and birthday. The birthday kind of helps me to look at your energy, sort of an intro to you. Your birthday kind of gives me some information about your numerology, things like that.
You right off the bat told me stuff from my mom that like nobody would know. And it was like 0 to 60. And I feel like with everyone, it's like, I didn't have any like lingering things. I think only with my mom, there's a few things where like, I saw her when she was sick, and then she wanted me to leave to go for a job interview. And I didn't want to, but she wanted me to. And I left, but then that's the last time I saw her. Yeah. So it was really hard, because I was just like, oh, should I have just stayed and just like, you know, dealt with it. But she wanted me to go. And I think part of it was like she didn't want me to go through that and see her like that.
Yes.
But I had a hard time with that.
Of course.
And that was like the first thing that Felix, it was like all this stuff that my mom said from that. And I just remember like, I was just bawling, crying. From going to like, oh, I don't believe anything you're going to say, to like, no one would know that. I never spoke it out loud. The only person that would know was my mom.
Right.
She's gone. And
she knows what you need to hear at that moment.
And she's the first person that spoke.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so intense where I was just like, oh my gosh. And so I went from like that very quick of like, I don't believe this, to like, there's no possible way, because it wasn't posted anywhere. It wasn't anything. Like, nobody knew that information.
Right.
And nobody knew like my internal thoughts with it either. Right. Like, no one could, unless it was like a spirit. So
right.
It was so quick. And ever since then, I've been a believer, because like, there's just nothing.
Sure.
Nothing to explain that. And it was a really quick turn to change my mind. And then from there, obviously you said other things, but I feel like that was like the first thing that really got me.
Yes. And so that's a way to open the door for you. For you, trust what else I have to say, right?
That was so direct. That was like the clearest of clear messages.
And to speak on that, my mentor, his name is Hans King. He's in spirit now. And he was a direct voice medium. And I had never considered myself a direct voice medium. Just, we hear it directly. It's directly in your ear. And so about 3 years ago, I was doing a reading and Hans showed up. And I'm like, Hans? And she goes, excuse me, what did you say? I said, oh, I said, Hans. She's like, that's my grandpa's name. And that's the person I've been wanting to connect to. And I'm like, oh, So my mentor showed up for me to say Hans because that was also her grandfather's name. But not only was it her grandfather, my mentor was talking to me. And he said to me, Felix, from here on out, you are to call yourself a direct voice medium. And I was like, okay, all right, I will. And it was just very direct that he told me direct, from here on out, you are to call yourself. And so since I have called myself that, which, you know, I am, I realize now, it's just become more and more direct. It's really interesting. We state something and then assert it, and then the energy follows it. But no, it was just an interesting thing that happened.
What is a direct psychic medium?
A direct voice medium is someone who hears the words of spirit directly. There's no middle person. There's no fluff. It's just direct. And so that's why your mom told me, tell her it was okay that she wasn't there and that she knew you weren't there when she took her last breath, but she didn't want you there. So, and you weren't supposed to be there. So that's an example of being, you know, direct voice medium. So yeah, it happens that way. Now, does it happen like that all the time? No, but majority of time, that's how it comes through.
Yeah, that was such a memorable moment for me later, but I wanted to first ask Kendall, like, as someone that hasn't been to a psychic medium, that really, I feel like, learned more about it through me, like, what are your like biggest concerns or thoughts when it comes to psychic mediums?
Yeah, I know I remember telling you early on, like, I'm very open to this. And I didn't know much about it, but I've always been intrigued and always been receptive to like the things unknown and the things that are not visible to the eye and are tangible in our life. But I remember also telling you, like, I would love to, but there is like a hesitancy, and it's not out of skepticism, but I think it's just out of not knowing in this case, like what my dad would say and if I'm emotionally ready to hear it. Because in some sense, I'm like, I don't know if I'm prepared to receive that information yet. And I want to make sure I'm ready to hear whatever would be said with, and I don't think it's going to be anything bad. He wouldn't say anything crazy like that, but just knowing, like, that's such a sensitive and personal interaction when you're talking to someone that you love so much and they're in the beyond now. And I was like, I just don't know if I'm ready to open that door yet and hear what needs to be said, or if I still just need some time to process that.
And, you know, I hear this all the time. I have people come to me, they said, I usually ask them, how did you hear about me? And they said, a lot of people, especially lately, have said, oh, I've known about you for 13 years and I've had your card for 13 years. And having a card tells me they definitely had it a while, because I don't do cards anymore. But yes, you said I happened to run across it and I thought, oh my gosh, this is the time. I need to do this. You know, because at the time they got my information, their loved one hadn't passed. And now they've got people, or they have a reason to come to you, and they feel ready, and they just do it, you know? And so I hear that all the time. So there's a timing. There's an important element to timing, for sure.
Do you think you can ever go too soon, or is it more of like a personal feeling?
So yes, I can speak on this as of late because of recent things that have happened. I did have a woman who came to me, but she came with her friend. Her friend was supposed to have the reading. So she gave it to this other person. And I said to her, I feel like you lost a child. And she started crying. She said, I have. I said, you have a son that passed? She's like, yes. I said, I feel him. He's sitting here and he's shaking his head at me. And I said to him, why are you shaking your head at me? Like, my thought, I asked spirit questions in my mind. And they said, it's too soon. It's too soon, Felix. It's too soon. And I said, oh. I said to her, when did he pass? She said, 2 weeks ago. I said, my dear, I really would love to connect with your son, but I'm being instructed that it's too soon and that he's not going to be able to speak today, or that you're not ready. And that's a very hard thing to tell a grieving person, that not only they just lost their loved one, but now the person they're expecting to speak for their loved one is not able to connect to them. And, you know, I had a hard time with it. So I actually try to push past that, and it didn't work. And so my lesson is, you know, I have to listen. And, you know, I told her, you need to grieve. You have to grieve. Like, it happens with me, even with my own people who passed. I don't hear from, like, my last person who passed. I didn't hear from him in 10 months. It took 10 months for him to give me some sort of contact. And I'm a medium, right? And, like, I do this for a living. But that didn't matter. Because personally, I had to move through this grief. I had to, you know, assess it and connect in my own way to myself and all the things I did for him. And it was hard. It was really hard. So I just want to share that. Like, even me, I had to wait 10 months to hear from my loved one. And so I have, you know, but some people, like yesterday or 2 days ago, I had a woman, her mom passed the day before she came to see me. And she came through very strong. And like, boom, boom, boom. And I said to her, hold on a second, to my client, let me ask your mom a question. I said to her, why do some spirits come through soon and some don't? She says, well, she had this in spiritual escrow. And I said, oh, and I understood that. It's like the work has been done for her to be able to connect with her mom. And so this woman was 65 years old, my client. And so her mother was in her 90s. But I realized, oh, because of life experience and because of her karma with her mom. And so that helped me understand why certain spirits do come through instantly. It's very fascinating.
Do you think part of it is, because I feel like also with like grief, right, when you lose somebody and they say like, you kind of have to deal with the immediate feelings, right? Like the not eating, the very, you know, you might be super depressed. Like there's so many things that you have to deal with immediately because you're just feeling all this before you can like start going on like a healing journey, even though I don't feel like you're ever healed from grief, but you have to kind of deal with immediate things. Do you think that that kind of relates to what you're saying? That like, if you're in that kind of crazy, not crazy, but just like hard time that you can't receive anything because you can't be helped. Like you can't be quote unquote helped or connected to something at that time. You're not even really open to it.
There's too much interference, like the sadness, the emotion, you know, people need time to process this. You know, the last thing that I would do if I lost my mom or dad is to go to a medium, and not because I can do that, but I would definitely take some time off of work because, you know, I'm very close to my mom and my father. So like it's different for each person, but I say, you know, they can connect instantly because they go straight to the spirit and they're good. It's us that need the time, right? It's us that need that space and processing.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of interference. I don't know if you guys experience it, like video chopping. Yeah.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
I feel like there's a lag.
I've only seen it for Kendall, but Felix and me are fine on my end.
Okay.
I don't know if this is a lot of spirit energy.
Well, let me say this. Oftentimes this happens. A lot of interference with the electrical lights. When I was younger, I used to walk by lights, you know, and the street lamps would just go out. My mom and dad would tell me to not turn off the light or on the light. They would have to do it because every time I would flip the switch, the light would bust. It was a thing. Yeah, I wasn't allowed to turn the lights on at certain points because I was breaking the light bulb and they thought I was hitting it too hard or fast, and I actually wasn't.
We haven't experienced this, so I feel like it's like there's a lot of energy going on with this. Like I said, when I walked in, I definitely felt that energy when I met Felix, almost like a shock feeling where I was like, okay, I feel like this is real. This is unsettling. I wanted to touch on one thing that you said, where you said that your mentor told you to say that you're a direct voice psychic medium. And now you say it, and you said putting words to that and saying out loud, like you're affirming it.
Absolutely.
So there's so much talk about like manifestation and the universe and spirits. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Because I feel like it's very spiritual and very like woo-woo. I wonder if you feel like it's connected.
Absolutely. So part of what I do is, or the majority of what I do is to help empower people. Because that's what spirit That's the energy they bring to me. And that's the energy that I convey for them to everybody. They want to empower us. They want us to know that we have the abilities to do things way beyond our own limitations. And so many of the messages they give us have to do with tapping into our own abilities, tapping into our own strengths, you know, and researching things so that we can further our development. You know, we're all here to do different things, but we are all intuitive. And when you develop your intuition, you move ahead a lot quicker with things. So part of a big part of what I do is guide people, which is why, you know, this work is considered guidance. My mentor used to call it receiving guidance. He would say, guidance is telling me this. Guidance is showing me that. And it was just a really powerful way to convey information that absolutely connected with me. And that's how I learned. He taught me. He didn't teach me how to connect because I already had the ability, but he taught me how to relay and how to give a message, right? Because it's not what you say, it's how you say it. It's not what I was seeing, it's how I was to convey what I was seeing, what I am seeing. So that is what really helped me to become a successful medium. First and foremost.
Do you think, so I don't know if I listened to your podcast or you said it to me in person, mm-hmm. but the same way that people say like universe, like show me how good it can get or calling to different spirits, I think you said you can ask spirit for things and for help with things. And one of the things that I do now is like sometimes I'll ask for like a spirit like help or like I'll just be like mom, you know, yes. dad, sister, like I'll try to kind of say it out loud to like ask them for the thing. Do you feel like there's a connection between all of that? Because it's like such a weird, I don't know, other humanly feeling of like you're asking people for help that you don't know that they're there, but you're trying to be open-minded to receive help, but it's a hard thing.
Sure. So when you ask for any spirit for guidance, you are calling in the non-physical. And so we have spirit guides, spirit teachers, master guides, spirit guides that help us. And so our loved ones on the other side do become helpful, like, and to help guide us. So when you ask a spirit, you are tapping into their spirit, which is connected to your spirit, which your spirit is your higher self, right? And so it's all sort of the same energy you're tapping into. You're calling on spirit to help guide you, and absolutely very powerful when you do that. Ask and it is given, right? And so, yes, I try to remind people, I am always shocked to hear of people who come to me, their 50s and their 60s, and I say to them, have you ever asked your loved one to come to you? And they said, well, no, I never thought of asking them. Wow, oh my gosh, like really? And it's like, I have to kind of like take a step back and say, okay, let me teach you how to ask. You are allowed to ask them for guidance. Does it mean you're always going to get it? No, but asking is really important. And so I tell people, call on your loved ones and ask them to visit you.
I feel like I'm always hesitant to do that because I feel like I don't want the disappointment. When people ask, like, show me an exact sign that I know it's you, I feel like that's like the one thing that I don't do because I don't want to be disappointed that I don't see that sign. But then I always see stories of people asking for a very specific sign and they get it. So, and I'm like, I have a whole army of dead people. So like, shouldn't I ask that? But I feel like I'm always worried that I'll be disappointed.
Right. So that's a little different. That is sort of you directing them to give you what you want to see, where I recommend you ask them just to give you a sign that you'll know when you see it, you'll know it's them. And so rather than assigning them a sign, let them give it to you. Let them create that for you. Unless you do it like I did with my grandmother when she was still here. I told her, Grandma, when you get to the other side, this is going to be our secret code. And she said, okay, mijo, I will remember that. I remember to this day what the secret code was. And after she passed, she showed that to me a lot. And it was an amazing thing that happened. So that was a special case of setting up a sign before someone passes, right? That's a little different. But no, when you ask spirit for a sign, the best way to approach it is to let them choose the sign.
Do you think you have to be more open-minded to receive it too as well? Absolutely. Or to like acknowledge it?
Absolutely. You have to, well, a few things. You have to be open-minded to it, and you have to really believe it's possible. That opens the door, right? Because if you don't believe it's possible, then, you know, I once had a gentleman come to me. This was about 15, 16 years ago. And it was really interesting. He felt very closed, but I thought, okay, I'll just push past this. And he was very closed. And I'm like, I'm not getting anything on him. And he kind of looked at me and grinned. And I was like, I tried to say something. He's like, nope. He just shut me down really well. And so I said to him, we're not connecting. I'm really sorry, but I don't think I can connect with you. And he says, I know you can't, because you can't do what you say you can do. And I was like, oh, so you already believe that this is, he's like, this isn't possible. I said, you know what? You're right. It's not possible for you. And I said, this is kind of the first time this has ever happened like that. I said, so you are right. Congratulations. You wasted my time and yours. And you don't have to pay, of course. And so he left. And I thought, why did that happen? Like the next reading, 20 minutes later or 30 minutes later, boom, powerful. Woman came in. I said, who's Olivia? She started crying. She said, that's my mom. I said, your mom's sitting here. And I said, oh, you're expecting a baby. And she couldn't believe it. She wasn't visibly pregnant. And she had just found out a few days before that she was pregnant. So like, Spirit showed me, like, you know, oh. And I thought, at the end of the day, I said, why did that happen? They said, Felix, you can't interfere with people who know what they know and believe what they believe and aren't willing to be open. And I said, okay, it was a really important lesson for me. So I did not exist in this man's realm, right? He wasn't open enough to let me. So yeah, that was a very interesting experience. That's only happened once. But it was a lesson for me to know that I'm not allowed to interfere with people's staunch, hardcore belief system if they're not willing to be open, right?
When I went to you, you said that my sister was the most active of my family spirits. Uh-huh. And I do believe that to be true. And one thing that I see so often is like 317 or like 17, which yes. is her birthday. Yes. And I feel like I see that when I'm doing stuff that is like good for me and like,
yeah.
I feel like moving forward, like especially so many times when I'm doing the podcast and doing stuff with this and like sharing my grief stories, I see that every when I look at the clock or something, like even when we were recording, like twice I looked at the time and it was both at like the 21:17, the 22:17. Like I just spotted it yes. when I looked.
Yes.
And that happens so often, but only with like my sister's numbers. And you said that she's very active. And I do believe that she is. Whenever I'm doing something positive, I feel like she shows up through like numbers. And so I see that all the time.
And so that is her way to nudge you. Say, hey, I'm still here, sis. I got you. Like, I got you. You know, that is definitely her way to connect to you. So that's wonderful. You've established that sort of rapport with her on the other side.
And it's very helpful in a sense because it's really hard being without that support system, right? Like both of my parents and my sister.
Yeah.
And they were the biggest supporters. And it's, and even starting this podcast and stuff, right? It's a big thing to be doing yeah. and putting ourselves out there and sharing our stories. And I see her so much in that as like a support through
yes.
through just like number kind of confirmation. And it's something I think about often. I'm like, okay, she is here and she is being active. And I always think of that since you said that she's the most active and always watching.
Yes. And you know, they want you to believe, they want you to thrive, and they want to empower you. They want to see you do well. Spirits want us to do well. They want us to get the things that we're working towards. And they'll help us. They'll help us. They do. They help us.
That's what I think the hardest thing with doing stuff like this is that like, are they here? Are they helping me? Are they supporting me? Are they proud of me for doing this finally?
Yes.
Because, yes. Oh, Kendall dropped off.
Kendall disappeared.
This never happens. I swear it's like you're spirity.
Well, I think it's just the energy is really strong and that it happens all the time with me. That's the thing. And I've had people yell at me, like radio talk show hosts, like, Felix, you made the lines turn off and our audio is just at its wit's end. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's not me. It's the energy. But it's not my energy. It's other spirits' energy. They're trying to connect.
She said her back. It's all interesting timing with power and electric. Because, yeah, we haven't experienced this type of issue. But I do believe there is so much energy with spirits and everything. And it is so real. And I think it is something that is hard. And I know that.
Yes. It is.
One thing is very hard to deal with. And I know when I went to visit you, I've visited Felix maybe like 2 or 3 times at this point. And I think during one of the sessions, you said, I was just feeling really low. And there's times like that. It's still really sad that they're not here. And one message that you told me was that, like, you just need to heal a little bit more. Like, you just need to work on it a little bit more. Like, you just need to move forward a little bit more. And you hugged me, and I just remember thinking, like, I think I asked, like, how? I don't know how. Like, what do I do? Like, it's so painful being without them. But it was like a turning point of thinking, like, okay, like, what can I do?
Right.
You know, what am I not doing enough? And that it wasn't like right away, but it was something that I was thinking of, like, what can I do to move forward, because it's very hard, you know. They died within a 4-year period.
Yeah.
So it was so much death that it was just like in each, it's just getting harder. Yeah. And so when you said that, you're like, you just need to just work on it a little bit more. I remember thinking, like,
work on
how
you.
Like
yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. It was just like it felt impossible at the time. Like
and you did.
How do
and
I do that?
Right? You've been figuring it out what's working for you. And I've noticed even myself, when you said that you were doing a podcast, I was like, wow, you really did a turnaround. Not that I couldn't see you doing a podcast, but you really did open up more. Yeah. And you see how your willingness to open more is actually reaching other people. And you realize that sharing your story is healing. And that sharing what you've experienced is healing for you, because it's validating, right?
Yeah, and it was like a succession of things, but I remember there was something that sat with me for so long. And I was like, okay, this person that speaks to like spirits and specifically my family spirits mm-hmm. is telling me like, I need to fix it, because I was in denial for so long. I'm just,
sure.
This is hard thing. Like, I didn't want that to be like my story. Like, all my family's gone and people look at you and you're like, oh, how sad. Like, all your family's gone basically. And when you said that, I was like, I think I was in denial that I wasn't healed, because I was kind of like, I'm doing fine. I'm moving forward. You know, like I'm not like staying in bed all day, you know, like I'm functioning.
You were mad and you had a right to me. Yeah. You had to work through that anger. I see a lot of people who come to me, they're angry that their husband has passed, their mother has passed, their son has passed. There's anger. But behind the anger, there's a sadness, right? And so we access that sadness, and you move through the anger and you accept this is what is, and you look at the sadness, then you can start to really work on it. And that's
it took a while. And last time I saw you, you did say that my mom wasn't ready to talk to me. You said that I was mad at her. I remember thinking like, what do you mean? But I was, and I don't think I even acknowledged it until you said that. And I was mad because I feel like she didn't do enough. Like, she wasn't proactive. I feel like she kind of gave up after my sister, which right. Seeing it now, it's like, as an adult, it's like, okay, I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But as a daughter that needed her mom, I was angry. I was like, I can't take that.
Right.
And right. It was one of those things where I was like, okay, I have to work on that, because she can't talk to me because she feels bad.
That emotion had to be worked through. And so what anger or any lower form of emotion does to us is it puts a shell around us, right? It puts a layer around us. And so we're not open. And trust me, I have my days. I have days where I have lots of layers around me, and I have to call my assistant and say, today's not a good day, so you need to cancel everyone. And he gets so upset. He's like, you have no idea how hard I've worked to get these people, blah, blah, blah. And listen, I know it's hard work he does. But if I'm not feeling it or I'm not available, then I can't work, right? And so like everyone else, I have personal days. I have to take, you know, time to process emotions from, you know, what I'm going through or what my family's going through. So, yeah, that's probably the hardest part of my job is to compartmentalize the things that are going on in my life so that I can make room for people's spirits and for the loved ones. And so that is has become a challenge that I've learned how to get better at, right? Like you, if I'm angry or upset, or, you know, that puts a definite wall between me and my client and me in spirit.
Kendall texted me, she's her internet's back on, but she's like, she joined and it's just a black screen. So she's gonna try to rejoin. I don't know if her dad's energy is like spurring out or something.
I was gonna say something about that. I actually felt her father when she was talking. And who knows, maybe she is ready to get a reading, and maybe she is ready to receive a message. But it's really interesting because I was trying to figure out, do I talk about her dad? Because I was feeling him. And I feel like her disappearing was like, okay, maybe she's not ready.
So me and Kendall actually have been on like a amazing healing journey together. We both were not the people that talked about our grief. We kind of were trying to just keep going with it. And we met in a grief support group, and that's how we became friends. And so we both never talked about our grief like we talked about now. And having Kendall in that friendship, we talk so openly about it. And we both lost our dads in kind of similar circumstances. They both had diabetes. They both passed in October.
Right.
So there's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sorry to interrupt you. A lot of times my most powerful sessions are the sessions that are private. And I wonder, like, I always ask, well, why is that so? Like, I have televised or, you know, have done readings on live air, and those are good. Those are wonderful. But I tend to find that people, when they know they're being recorded or watched by others, they don't open as much, or they're not as open or vulnerable, because they're usually worried about how they look or what they sound like or who's going to hear this. And so what happens is a wall goes up. So I've noticed that with people that I try to read, or that I read when I'm doing a show or interview or radio. So what I've discovered is that people, when they're most vulnerable, it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder for them to be open. And so that's why I always say, like, I wish there was a camera here that caught all this, because nobody would believe it. And it's like every day in my room here, these private sessions, the most powerful things happen. And I've watched, like, Tyler Henry. He's amazing. He's wonderful. I love Tyler Henry and Teresa Caputo. And I've seen them do interviews with celebrities, or readings for celebrities, and they're wonderful. But I noticed, and I've done readings for celebrities myself, but not on air and not in front of the public. And I've noticed that these are really powerful sessions. So I often think that the most powerful sessions happen behind closed doors and in private, because people are able to feel vulnerable and open, and it's just me and them. And, you know, they're not... the audio is recording them, but it's for them, right? So they know that they feel more comfortable. So that's oftentimes why I try to I don't shy away from it, but I tend to sort of rather wait to read someone when they're in a private setting or when they're feeling ready and open. And that's just my thing.
That makes sense. I think the most maybe pivotal session with you was when I went alone, and that's when we had the talk about, like, oh, I think you just need to, like, work on your grief a little bit more. You need to heal a little bit more. And I don't think I would have been as open in some of the things that you said. I don't remember, but there was, like, very honest things.
Yeah.
And I think something that you said was, you're like, oh, if you think you're just going to get sick and die. And I was just like, I think I admit it out loud, like, I don't know if that I would care if that happened.
Sure.
Like, I just wouldn't care. And you're like, that's not going to happen to you, but you need to, like, work on your healing. You need to, like, work on yourself. And I was like, at the point, I was like, I'd welcome that, you know, like, I'd just be reunited with my family. Like, I wouldn't care if that happened. And I wouldn't have said that out loud to, like, if my brother or my cousin were there, you know?
Right.
Because it's your darkest thoughts. You're like, I just don't care anymore. Yeah. And I think that session probably was the most that kind of set me in. It was still slower for me.
Sure.
Because I was processing a lot, but it did help me where I had to keep thinking, like, what am I doing for myself? Like, what is my life going to be? Why am I suppressing all these really sad feelings?
Right.
You know, like,
right.
And right. Yeah, it's that question, Kendall, you were cut out for this, but our last session, he just said, like, you need to heal a little bit more. You need to work on on it. And I just, like, the question that lingered was like, how? Like, how do I do that? I feel like I'm trying, but I wasn't really trying in a way that was helpful. I was just trying to, like, I'll get to the next day.
Right. Which is why I said the things that I said to you. And, you know, that's not always an easy thing to tell someone, but I have to tell people what I see, what I feel, and the truth, you know, and my take on what's happening, right? People come to me because they trust my take. They trust what I'm sensing. And oftentimes, before the ability step in or jump in with the communication with spirit, I have to sort of assess the person myself and use my own intuitive abilities to see if they are indeed ready. Kendall, does Kendall have any question about the process? Like, do you have any question for me? Something you've always wanted to ask a psychic or a medium?
I think one of the most profound things when Rachel was talking about her experience and to me was, I guess, because I wasn't there, so I don't know, but you describing what it's like for her sister on the other side, and that it was actually like such a calming and assuring feeling that she's okay. And that, like, that gave me a feeling like wherever my dad is now, he's okay. And like, not in, I think we kind of exacerbate the idea of what happens after we die. But when Rachel talks about her sister and kind of like, where she is next, it was such a calming feeling. So do you mind diving into that for the people who are listening that are worried about their loved ones on the other side and thinking they're in a horrible, awful place? But
for sure, this question brings up, this brings up a real thing that happened, and I'll share it with you. I had a fellow medium in my development circle. This was about 16 years ago, and she's a wonderful medium, and her mother was told she had terminal cancer. And so she would always ask her daughter through her daughter to me, like, what does Felix see about this? And what is he saying? And how long does he think I have? And she was so sad and she was desperate to know things. And I would speak to her through her daughter and tell her, tell your mom this, tell your mom that, and just kind of help her with this process. And then, you know, she was just so scared, this woman. And I spoke to her on the phone. I said, my dear, when it's your time, you will know, and the fear will fall away, but you have to trust. And right now, live just in the moment and stay day to day with your loved ones that are around you. And, you know, I just spoke for a little bit. I think I helped calm her. So fast forward like 8-10 months, she's basically dying in her bed and all her children are around her, including the woman in my class. And she was just like, oh, can you hold me? She asked her son, can you please hold me? And he was holding her. She said, I can't feel you. And he said, mom, if I hold you any stronger, I'm going to squeeze you. I'm going to hurt you. So, and she was just so scared and agitated and uncomfortable. And then she took a nap. She woke up. She was looking around the room and I said, mom, are you okay? Can we do anything for you? And she said, no, it's okay. She looked around and they're looking at each other like, what's going on? She's like, Doug and Donald and Bill. She's like, oh, she goes, oh, they want me to jump in. Can I jump in now? And they're like looking at each other like, what? Like, yes, yes, mom, you can jump in. She's like, oh, and she just lit up. She was so happy. And she says, I'm going to jump in now. I love you guys. And she closed her eyes and took her last breath. Like, what? Like, wow, what? And so we lost Kendall. how powerful is that, right?
Yeah, that is a very comforting feeling. And the way that I see it, and I think you've spoken about it too, and I've read it in like Lovely Bones, and I've read one of like Teresa Caputo's books, is they're kind of in this other place where time is different and they're not missing us the same way. Like, because time is slower, but they're around. And what's crazy is, it's like, I always pictured my sister that, like, in a field or something, kind of around, like, enjoying life, and she's still the same. But it is crazy, because one weird thing that my sister does is she visits people's dreams that, like, are sensitive. And she even visited someone that we had on our podcast that, like, we're friends with, but like, I've never met her in person, right? She's never met Lori. I've only met her in December.
Right.
And she messaged me and she's like, your sister visited me in my dreams.
Yeah.
And she said that she was talking about Gushers and she loves watching Jameson, which is my dog. And it's crazy because she's not, that's not the first person she's visited. She visits my other friend whenever I go see her.
Right.
She'll visit her in her dreams.
Yeah. So that's and, through to you.
And it's crazy.
Well, it's also more validating to hear it from someone who didn't know your sister.
Yeah. We talked about my sister, but like, you don't know.
Right. So like, if she came to your brother and gave you messages from your brother, it would have been a less impactful, you know, because from him, he knew her, right? So coming from someone that didn't know your loved one that passed is more impactful.
And like more, no, like more random, like, oh my gosh, she is very active. She's just visiting who she can.
Yeah.
Kendall's freaking out. She's like, my site just reloaded. She's like, something is seriously happening. This has never happened where Kendall's been kicked off multiple times in a session or anything
like that. Maybe this is to help her believe.
Yeah, she's like, seriously, something's happening because it's never happened. I'm like, oh my God, is her dad trying to like really show up in like some big energy? Because we both were the type that we didn't really talk about it that much. And we didn't realize how much we needed the outlet to talk about our grief or to have someone just say all the things.
I also just want to say thank you for your courage and speaking about this, because it takes a lot of courage to share this most vulnerable part of your life. And you are indeed, Rachel, helping people when you share your story, because you open up other people too. Just by listening to you, they believe you and they trust you. So I just want to say I commend you on what you're doing.
Thank you. It was a big, I feel like it was all kind of started. If I look back at the first moment, it was literally when you hugged me and you said, like, you just need to work on your grief a little bit more. And that was like my journey to like figuring that out. And it wasn't until like 2024, I was like, what am I doing for myself? Like, I feel like I'm just floating. And like, I started, okay, I want to play volleyball. So I started organizing volleyball and like, I wanted to make good friends in the city. So I've been doing that, like organizing like book clubs and like a cookbook club, and like started just doing more stuff to find joy. And then I was like, okay, for grief, what am I doing? So I joined a grief support group when I was very opposed to that.
Right.
And that's what led me to meeting Kendall. And that's what led to us creating the podcast.
Yes. Yes.
And it all just kind of felt like for the first time that things are happening for a reason. And I didn't hate that phrase, because I've hated that phrase for so long. When people are like, everything happened for a reason. Oh, I'm like, really?
That's the worst. Sorry. Let me just stop you for a second here. That is the worst thing you can tell someone who's going through grief. Everything happens for a reason. I just want to punch you in the face. That is because you annoyed me. No, that is not what people want to hear. You guys, anybody listening, please, please, please hear me out. When you are dealing with someone who's grieving, that's the worst thing you can say. Please say, I'm here for you. It must be extremely hard what you're going through, but I want you to know that I'm here for you, and we can talk whenever you want to talk, I'm here for you. That's it. That's all people really want to hear when you're going through a really, really hard time. I can do for you.
Yeah.
Not everything happens for a reason. I mean.
A recent one I got was that God knew that you were one of his strongest soldiers, so that's why he gave this to you. And I was like, please don't say that to me. Like,
you know,
he got the wrong person.
There's a time and place where it's applicable, but this is not that time.
Yeah. I was like, okay, he took both my parents and my sister. Like, wrong person.
They don't fit. The saying doesn't fit the situation, and you can feel that. Sorry, I have to interrupt you guys real quick. I don't know if there's a South Park reference, but I keep hearing someone say, "Who killed Kenny? Who killed Kenny? Who killed?" And I'm just like, "What is going on?" I don't watch South Park, but I don't know why I'm doing this. Like, Kendall, do you have any, like, is there a reference to the name Kenny, or is there a reference to South Park with like you or your dad or you? I don't know. I'm just hearing this. My way to hear Kenny. And is that like in your mom's family?
No, but I for a while, I think like when I was younger, I had a nickname. People called me Kenny.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody in my family is named with a K.
Okay. I just feel like someone is like being funny. And the reason it's not about someone dying, someone killing Kenny, not at all. But it's a funny reference because it's South Park and it's very, you know, like kiddish, very juvenile. But I do feel like your dad had a sense of humor, and I'm hearing the name Kenny, and I do feel like he called you that or someone called you that. And I also keep getting happy birthday, someone's birthday around now.
It's mine and Kendall's sister's birthday's coming up.
Okay. Yeah, so.
Yeah, my sister's birthday is on Saturday. And then my dad's birthday is, when did I say, Rachel? Like next Wednesday?
So please know, Kendall, your dad's coming through. He is making the energy do this a little bit because I feel like he wants you to know this is real. We know this is real. Me and Rachel do. But I think your dad wants you to know. But he's showing me a happy birthday and because he's holding a birthday cake. And I do see your dad around you, and I would love to do a reading for you, not on air necessarily, but I just need to give this message that he's around
good.
You. Just say
Thank
happy
you.
Birthday to your sister for him. And also, he's aware that you guys celebrate his birthday. Your father, it's your father trying to really, like, let you know he's around you. And actually, I felt him, but I didn't want to say anything. And so now this has forced me to say something. So that, again, that is his way. Like, come on, Felix, you can give her this message. Come on, come on. I'm like, but we're doing a podcast. It's not about this. He's like, please. And so he's making – now it's probably not going to happen anymore that we got the message out, but we'll see. Yeah. It's funny because your dad is showing me a shot glass and he's like, cheers.
Thank you.
So anyways, I don't know. I just feel like I had to put that out there. And then, Rachel, you said your sister's birthday is also this month.
It's on the 17th.
So a twofold. Yeah, twofold. So your sister also validating for you.
Yeah, it's a very tough birthday season. Well, because my mom and my sister both passed before my birthday. And then my mom's brother also passed.
Right.
In that same time frame. After my brother's birthday, before mine. Yeah. And I'm like, that is some messed up timing.
I understand.
And so it's a hard timing. So at one point I would like the world to explain that to me because I'm like, how do I enjoy my birthday under these conditions?
Well, they want you to celebrate their rebirthday. They want you to celebrate their ascension into the spirit world, their new life that they have now. They're with you and they want you to keep celebrating. And so please, I just tell people if someone dies on your birthday, that's special. Take it as a wonderful, loving gesture from them because it is. And people say, well, that makes it sad. Yes, it's sad. And yes, you're allowed to feel sad and you're allowed to cry. But when all said and done, know that they made that an important day for you more than just your birthday.
That's an interesting perspective because I always just see it as like, wow, this is really depressing.
Right. So, right. That's the narrative that we all have. Oh, this is so awful. But what if it's not awful? What if it's them saying, I love you so much that I'm going to leave on the day that you celebrate your entrance and I'm going to celebrate with you? It's like, really? That's truly what they want us to know. Like how special you are to them that they chose your birthday.
That is like a very interesting because it is like in between me and my brother's birthdays.
Yeah.
That it's like, I feel like there's so much life and birth in that month, but also so much death. And it's like, I feel like there's like some weird thing and it's hard to grasp and it's hard to like.
It's trying to get us to see beyond our limitations, Rachel. It's to help us look beyond what we think we know, what we think we understand, and to help us truly look at the truth and what really death is not the end. That it is a rebirth into the spirit. And so they're trying very hard to shift our reality and look at things in a different way, right? And the truth is, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at do change. And that was said by a wonderful Greek philosopher, Nikos Kazantzakis.
That is true. I definitely did try, but for some reason this last year where I was like, staying out, I think I was doing fine. And then I was like, oh my God, they've been gone for 9 and 7 years. And that number just like really hit me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's 9 and 7 years and then it's forever.
I'm getting another message. I don't know if it's for Kendall or for you, Rachel, but someone had a black lab or I'm seeing a Labrador retriever.
I didn't have a black dog, but I had a golden retriever. Oh, my sister
Kendall,
has a
who
black
had the
dog.
Black dog.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Her black dog can see your dad.
Oh.
I'm giving a message like the black dog, because someone keeps showing me a black dog. I don't know if it's a mix or part black.
Yeah, it is.
But I feel like your dad is saying he plays with that dog, so when that dog
that
acts up or acts
now.
Crazy, that's why.
That oh. dog is crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to call her right after.
Please tell your sister that your dad's playing with that dog.
Kendall mm-hmm. actually is giving her sister a blanket that's made of her dad's like shirts yeah. for her birthday on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. It'll definitely mean a lot to her. She was, I think, the most like him in personality, very, very tenderhearted, very much altruistic and seeing the good in the world. So although like the loss of our father was hard on all of us, I think she's still processing a lot.
Yeah.
In her own time, in her own terms.
What's your sister's name?
Her name's Kaylee.
Kaylee, okay. Yeah, please tell Kaylee.
It'll mean a lot to her for sure.
That,
to
you
me.
Know, dad is with you guys.
It is a very surreal feeling to get messages. It's a weird thing because you're like, oh, you want to believe everything is black and white, but it's really not.
Yes.
And it's like, even with like manifestation, it's like, oh, it's not real. But there's so much things you can't explain.
Right. And so, you know, the people who are saying it's not real really haven't had an experience with it or have not had a life occurrence that would sort of validate, or they've not had something, an event in their life to get them interested in having a reading. So you have to understand everyone has a reason for not believing, and it's okay. It's perfectly okay for people to not believe. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, you're bad if you don't believe in what we do. Not at all. Listen, it's life is hard enough as it is, but when we truly need to know, we will know.
Do you have any advice for people that are like hesitant, or we've interviewed some people that have like had traumatic deaths in their family or close ones? Like, do you have any advice for people that are like considering it? Because we always say like grief is so many layers. And when it's layers, like it's sudden death.
So every death is planned. Every death, even accidental deaths, are planned before we get here. In other words, our spirit designed this life with how we were going to exit before we even came. And so no matter how someone passes, how they pass is exactly the way that they planned it.
That's such a hard thought when...
Yes.
If it's sudden or young or like traumatic, like murder, like it's so hard to think like you came on this earth to experience that.
I get it. How Spirit had explained this to me is that before you're born, you stand behind a podium of a blueprint of your life, and you choose your mom, you choose your dad, you choose your spouses, your spouse, your experiences, everything, and your spirit guides are all around you while you do this. And they say, Rachel, are you sure you want this? You said, yes, this is important. This is an important part of my purpose coming here. And they said, well, you're going to forget this conversation. So we'll nudge you every now and then to let you know we love you and we're here for you. But ultimately, we chose this. And they said, are you ready? You said, yes, let's do this. And boom, in utero, you went. And so, of course, we don't come in remembering all those things. Not at all. But we have to trust that it was a part of the plan. And listen, I don't tell people this like to believe me, but I just want them to know, because it really is a comforting truth, that all of these things that are happening have been planned before we came here. Before you're born, you can see every blade of grass on the lawn of the hospital up to the very last thought that you had when you, before you cross over and then beyond. So, you know, everything is recorded. Every thought, every deed, every word is recorded in the Akashic records. And so oftentimes we can access in readings these records for people.
Crazy to think about, because it's like, I always try to make sense of like my world, right? Like, sure. How did this happen to me? How was I dealt these cards where absolutely. I lost my biggest support system? And I've had to change so much. And I think it wasn't until doing all this stuff where I feel like, oh, I feel like I'm helping people and I feel like there's a purpose. And there's also a lot of healing that's being done by sharing my story and speaking about it and processing it. Even with Kendall, we'll have conversations where like she'll say something and I'll be like, oh, that made me think about something differently, you know, like, or something I say to her. And it's like mutual healing also while doing this. And I feel like this is the first time. And I don't like to say like, you know, there's a reason for something or whatever, but I feel like you have to try to make something good out of some really hard things. And it's taken a long time to get to this spot where I'm like, I want something good and I'm going to create something good out of really hard things happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And so I commend you. You're doing it. You both are doing it.
Felix, you were saying that you felt something.
I feel a lot of things. It's funny when you said that, my mind just went completely blank. No, I think it's really, really the life challenges we all go through. If you look at the hardest times in your life, if you look at the opposite side of that, notice that's where the most beauty came. And that I can say for myself, losing my grandfather at 8 years of age, I was devastated. I had no idea what heaven was. I knew heaven was a place. I didn't really know at that time anybody who had died. And so when my grandfather died, it really sent me into a tailspin of sadness and grief, and just I can't even tell you how sad I was. Even my cousins who were my age, you know, we were all put in the room the day after grandpa passed, and in my grandma's house we were all put in the room while they were talking about this funeral arrangements. And I just remember sitting in the corner crying to myself, and everyone's like, why are you crying? And you know, play with us. And they had their toys, and I was just too sad to play. And I just remember being so sensitive to that. And so when he would visit me, that alleviated all that pain. And he really came to me and showed me he was okay. And he hugged me, and I could feel his stubble on his face, and I could smell his cologne. And it was my grandpa, but he was healthy when he had liver cancer before. So that is really the reason why I'm here. That is why I do what I do. So something that was the most painful thing in my life turned out to be the catalyst for the most beautiful thing in life.
I feel like I think of that in similar terms of like the hardest thing is like the most positive thing that's happened since. It's like having these conversations.
We don't learn from the light. We learn from the contrast, right? We learn from the dark. That's what causes the contrast. That's what causes the reason to look for light, you know, is because of that. Or else we wouldn't have even come to Earth, because it's all light in the spirit world, right? We came here for the experience and the contrast, and that's where everything is born.
I think, well, one question I do want to ask is if there's any listeners that might be feeling spiritual connection, how do you recommend they like lean into that or explore that? Or is there resources out there for them to connect to begin this like journey of exploring their like medium ability?
For sure. So, you know, I encourage everyone to go to a bookstore, or now you can go to Amazon. But, you know, and let a book choose you. Let a book speak to you, and let a book kind of yell at you and say, get me, get me. You know, that's what I used to do when I was developing. I would walk through Barnes & Noble when they had them. And I would just sort of look at the metaphysical section and kind of look at the titles like, okay, yes, 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 yes. Ooh, Ooh, this one speaks to me. This is different, you know? And so I would take that book. And so I just tell people, let yourself be drawn to those titles, those themes. Let yourself be drawn to the things that matter to you or the things that you're curious about, and take that thread and pull it, you know, and look, ask people, you know, don't be afraid to ask silly questions, and don't be afraid to seem or look silly or awkward. Right. And so I encourage everyone to really find a way to alleviate your curiosity through books, through reading, through watching YouTube videos. There's a wonderful show on Netflix. I don't know if it's still up, but I think it's about life after death and people's accounts of what they experienced when they actually died and then came back. Those are all very real accounts. So I encourage people, just start where you are. There's no right place to be, to go. It's just start where you are and be curious and let the curiosity take you to where you need to be.
That's interesting that you said books, because we also started like a Griefy Girls book club, because we feel like healing is part through books and reading grief stories and any book that touches on grief, whether it's like a memoir or a fiction book. Yes. And recently we read Divine Rivals, which is a book that I read a few years ago. And I feel like that was a book that I just came across. I don't even know how. And I read it, and it also was something that like really hit my grief. Like I cried throughout so much of the book and so much I related to. And there was just pieces of it where like, oh, you have a shield up and you don't like people get to know you. Like it was so many parts in this book where I was like, oh my gosh, I feel called out. Like this is what I do.
Yes.
And I feel like that was also part of my journey of like reading that and like, oh my gosh, I get it. Feeling called out through this book and through her words, which it's interesting that you say that, because I feel like I definitely felt that through that book. And it came to me at a time where I was trying to work through some things.
100%. If we all listen to that, you know, intuition, to that voice inside us that says, go ask that person this question, or go talk to that person and, you know, read that book, or go look into this theme a little bit more, take it a little further, you know, go visit this city. And you're like, what? Why am I going to fly away to London for? You know, like what? But see, you got to listen to those little nudges, because that's what I was saying before. Our spirit guides, our teachers, our master guides are nudging us. Hey, remember you agreed to do this, so get the ball rolling. You got to go here. You got to talk to that person. You got to read this book, and we'll get you started again, right? So we all need inspiration. We all are looking to be inspired.
True. I definitely think putting my phone down more and like being open to the signs and the things, because sometimes it's like when you get wrapped in your phone, you're like, you lose time and you're like, okay, I'm missing everything that's happening, you know, because I'm just like on my phone versus like sitting outside or going for a walk or whatever. It feels so much more connected. And that's why we say like nature is so healing for us, is like just being in nature and disconnected and just enjoying the scenery. It's like you feel so more in tune with like whatever is going on and connected to them in some way.
Thank you for bringing this up, because that also, Kendall, is a very important thing that we can do, is be in nature to connect with spirit. You know, take your shoes and socks off. Oh, absolutely. Take your shoes and socks off and walk on the grass. Go to the beach. You know, connect with the earth.
Okay, good to know. Because we say that. We always say that there's something about it. Yeah. But it's nice to be like, to be affirmed by you that that is a thing.
Absolutely is a thing.
Being in like the ocean water, I don't know if it's also because I'm like a Pisces, but like just being in like clear water or water, I feel like the most at peace, like connected to them in some way.
Yep, me too.
It's
me
like
too.
My favorite thing, where it's like I'm just, I picture like Lanikai Beach on Oahu, just like in the clear water and just like, my sister's best friend actually flew me to Hawaii after my mom passed away, because I didn't want to go to my mom's funeral.
Right.
Well, in the Philippines. She flew me to Hawaii and she took me to Lanikai Beach. And I just remember the most at peace I felt during that time. That was really hard, because like I lost my dad, I lost my sister, and then I freaking lost my mom.
Yeah.
But just, it was so healing just to like sit in the water. And I was in there for probably hours, just like sitting there, just feeling at peace in a very unpeaceful situation. But that was the most calm I felt during that time.
Found that place.
And so that's like the place I always think of when I think of like peace is just like Lanikai Beach and just being in the water. And
I encourage everybody has their place, right? Some people might find that in the forest. Some people might find that in the desert. Some people might find that sitting in their home. It's like wherever you feel you can relax and be at peace, then go there, right?
Right.
That's true. I need to do that more often. Yeah. Find that peace. Where do you think, because we always talk about people's grief journey and it's like a forever journey, but it's ongoing. And there's so many things, like we always say, like try anything because you don't know what's going to help. Where do you think like psychic medium readings kind of fit on that grief journey?
So psychic medium readings can help you to understand where you are and where you've been and where you're going, you know? Psychics can see the past, the present, and the future. You can't have one without the other. So in a reading true to form, you get the past, you get a little bit of the present, and you also can get the future. And so, you know, be ready to hear something that you may not be expected to hear. Be ready to hear something that is a little out of alignment with your original way of being and thinking and doing. So I always tell people, just be open and you'll know based on what you hear if it feels right. You will feel it. It'll be very visceral. Like you said, when you came to my apartment, you had this feeling you've never felt before. That was your mom. That was your spirit, your soul connecting to your mom's spirit, right?
I feel like I need to be more open to just those feelings.
Yeah.
Going through it. I'm curious, Kendall, after this conversation, like, what are you feeling right now with all of these things?
You mentioned it earlier, how it is a weird feeling to have these things that you know from the person who's not here anymore be said. And so I definitely had like, oh, that is such a, it's like a seen feeling. You're like feeling seen, but it's also this very surreal feeling of, oh my gosh, like, yes. And not that I ever had doubted this before, but like, if it put me over the edge, it definitely did into believing this more than when we were just talking about this last year on the podcast.
Like I said, like it was a huge step for me in my healing and going forward with the stuff where I think sometimes I didn't even think about like how pivotal that moment was, where I really felt so lost because yeah. I thought by getting to the next day, I thought by like showing up and, you know, still just moving on with life, quote unquote, that I was doing it, you know, like, what are you supposed to do? It's a sucky situation.
Sure.
And
sure.
It wasn't until that session where I felt like so called out of like, no, like if you're thinking like, I don't care what happens to me, you're obviously not in a good place. And like, you need to be healing. And, you know, you like you're mad at your mom for passing. Like I didn't really connect all those feelings.
Right.
Right.
In there and think about it.
Yeah, it was too much. And probably you were mad at yourself for leaving the room or whatever it is that story is. It's like we have anger towards ourselves when we lose someone. I remember one of the most impactful things that happened was the day before my brother-in-law passed. He was sitting in front of me. We were at a bar in San Francisco. And he looked at me and I looked at him and it was like a look I'd never got from him. And it wasn't bad or it just stood out. Like to this day, I can remember it. And He just kept looking at me and I just thought it was strange because it was out of character. Let me just say that. And so then the next hour we were saying goodbyes to everybody. We were hugging. And this person, my ex-brother-in-law, was not a hugger. Did not hug. We would butt. You know, hand bumps. Everybody was hugging him and he was hugging everyone. But by the time I was watching people hugging him, I was already in my Uber. And a voice said to me, get out of the car and go hug him. And I thought, oh, I'll see him tomorrow. No big deal. I didn't see him tomorrow. Because tomorrow he passed in the morning from a hemorrhagic stroke. And so all these thoughts came to me and much more thoughts because I actually did a reading for him a year before and made some predictions about things. It was just very eerie to me. But I was so mad at myself that I didn't hug him. And I just remember like being so hard on myself for the whole month. Like, why didn't I hug him? That would have been the last time I had actually hugged. And then, you know, I was beating myself up for a little bit. And then he came to me and he said, hey, Felix, you hugged me before. It's okay. Like, he came to me very like casual. Like, that's how he was, like, you know, on his phone. Like, oh, hey, Felix. Yeah, you came to me. Don't worry about it. It's all right. And I was just like, okay, thank you. Thank you. That happened. I'm human like everyone. We all have these. Everybody feels regret when someone passes to some degree or another. And it's really important to work through that, because there are two things that spirit tells me that block us from feeling them. And that is regret and anger. And both are valid emotions. And both are very human emotions that we all experience. But we have to move through them, right? We have to work through them.
Yeah, that's so important to think about, because we see so many people say like, they regret something, or like, how can I feel happiness, or how can I feel anything because of this one thing? And I'm just like, I feel like from going to you, I realize like, my sister just loves me and is happy. And even though I could be like, maybe I didn't do this or do that, like the last thing she said to me was, I love you.
Yes.
And I'm the last person she spoke to. And it doesn't make sense, because she was like already out of it. And she literally was lucid for like one moment and said, I think I'm going to die. I love you, sister. And that's the last thing we ever said to each other.
That's beautiful.
But it's like, it's crazy. But it is crazy how that stuff happens, where you're like, you can hold on to so many things. But yeah, it was a crazy thing where I was just like, you can hold on to so much. But even like when I've seen you, like my sister's so just like happy and like loving and whatever. She's not holding on to anything. No, you know, she's not thinking about the one time I didn't let her borrow this, or the one time I didn't do that.
Yeah. Right. And that's human. That's us. That's okay. That's something that comes up with all of us. And we have to work through all that.
Yeah. And she's so active. I don't know if Kendall's experienced this, but I definitely, there was a time that I was really needing a hug. And it was so surreal, because we were hugging in my dream, and I woke up and I still felt the hug. It felt like two worlds of like sleep to wake. But when I woke up, I still had felt her arms around me.
Yes. Yes.
And it's so crazy that stuff can happen. And it's like, you think you know things, but you don't.
Yeah. And just a few days ago, a woman told me they were with her mom, and her mom was dying, and she was out for like a whole day sleeping, and then would wake up very not lucid, but then go back to sleep. And then she woke up and looked around and said, I've crossed over, guys. And they're like, Mom, you're still here. And she says, oh no, I've crossed over. It's okay. I love you guys. And then, yeah, it's crazy. They're like, well, Mom, you're still talking to us. You're here. And then she smiled and just kind of put her head back and kind of like fell asleep again. And then about 2 days later, she actually passed. But she was actually experiencing the other side. And she was speaking in terms of as if she was already there. So I thought that was fascinating. That's the first I've heard that. So
that is crazy. Like being borderline in the world and not.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's what happens when we're that close, is that we start to see our loved ones and we start to feel them, and they will tell us things that validate it. People used to think that was them hallucinating and the drugs or whatever, but it's absolutely not. So.
I'm a believer now. I feel like it's there's so many weird things. Also, Kendall keeps getting kicked out. Like the spirit.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure connecting with you guys and talking with you too.
One quick last question. What, just for people that are interested in going to a psychic medium, what should people look out for?
So people should look for testimonials that are real. Like there are some paid testimonials on Yelp, and you can tell because they're very vague. But if you can read testimonials that are real, that are descript, that, you know, and listen, I have negative reviews on Yelp too, and I'm okay with that, because it just shows that I'm real. Yes, I had a bad day. And yes, I may have said something out of line to someone because they said something mean to me or whatever. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm human, right? And people need to see that I'm a human person. I'm real and I have my days. So It's look for a real interview or a real testimonial. Look for, and most importantly, go off of recommendations or people that have had experiences with the said reader and go off that. Because if you can trust that person, then you can trust the person that they saw, right? So things to look out for. So that, anything that says there's a dark energy above you or a dark cloud above your head, find the door. That's when the session ends in my book. Right.
Good. Good to know. Yeah. Cause I know a lot of people are going to, after listening to this episode, are going to be interested, like, okay, but what do I go about finding one? And I'm always like, be skeptical. Cause I was, and you want to go in with an open mind, but also a skeptical mind, because you want to be careful. If people want to, I think you have like a 1-year waiting list generally. Is that still true?
It's about 6 months now, only because I don't book that far in advance. Jeffrey, my assistant, just keeps a list of people and he checks them off. And I think it's a lot easier than planning next June, you know, for me.
Okay, perfect. So people... Should we direct them to your website? We'll put it in our show notes.
Yeah, they can go to felixleelerma.com or they can go to Google and just type in Felix Psychic Medium and they'll find my website. They can also call my office, and that office line number is 415-563-8677. And that's another way to find me. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on. Kendall got kicked off again. This is the most like interesting technical episode we've had, but just means the spirits are around us. I know Kendall is also very grateful that you came on. So thank you so much, Felix. This is a really amazing conversation. I hope people that came in skeptical can learn from this episode and just get a little bit better understanding of psychic mediums, and they are real, but there are also fake ones. So beware. I feel like from this genuine conversation, you can like understand why I find it so important, like on my own grief journey to have visited you. So,
well, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. And we'll link your podcast as well, so people can get more information and learn from you as well. So we'll put that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Felix. And I'll just say goodbye for Kendall, since I don't think she'll come on time. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. I'll talk to you later.